Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And you don't, obviously, and getting him ready and was worth it for the three games that he missed when you get that kind of and needed that kind of production down the red zone to finish off drives and not kick field goals. A lot of good stuff, man. A lot of good stories. And then some other things that, you know, have to get better if you're going to get back in this thing. No matter what anybody tells you, Carolina's not very good. They're truly not very good. And if you read all this stuff going on in Carolina, you can imagine that it's sometimes we get caught in our own little world here, and we think that everybody's just talking about Mike McDaniel and the GM and the quarterback and this. And then you realize you go up, you start reading stuff in the other markets in the NFL that you're getting ready to play, and you realize before the game the Jets had some issues, and you got to see them up close. Which, by the way, before I move on to Carolina, it is incredible to me, and it's just the new school versus old school. So it would have never been a big story with me ever in the media that Aaron Glenn ripped his team and everybody could hear him after the game in the locker room, letting those guys have it after what he saw. I mean, he's a brand new coach. He's not going anywhere. His job's not in jeopardy. He's a former Jets player from the Dan Campbell school. And so after the game, the 13 penalties and was it 13 penalties and three turnovers and just sloppy play. And when they did get something going, they'd have a 12-yard gain and then two penalties, a 5-yard jumping off sides, another 15 for holding. And it was a disaster for him, right? Overcoming just really bad play. Fair catch on what, the 2-yard line, whatever that was. Boy, that was a dummy pill. And so all those things, like, what are we doing here, guys? What's going on? So he blasts the players after the game, and so the media could hear it, could hear him just letting it rip. And so I'm reading yesterday, and one of the top stories in sports is Aaron Glenn rips his team. Like, of course he ripped his team. He should friggin' rip them. I don't know. Maybe that's, as you're getting up this morning, maybe that's just an old school thing. Like, if we had, I'm just going to tell you, if we had, I'm going to throw a Don Shula special in here from the 80s and 90s greatest hits. We came in for some reason, had 13 penalties, and we turned it over 3 times, which, by the way, I'm guessing if you have 13 penalties, you're killing drives or you're extending somebody else's drive, right? All of a sudden you get a stop and then you find out somebody held a guy or, you know, or had pass interference or jumped off sides. Those 13 penalties are going to kill drives either way. Either help somebody's drive keep rolling or you look like you're in great shape and all of a sudden you get backed up after a huge play gets called back. And then you throw in the 3 turnovers, which gives the other team usually at some point really good field position with some of the turnovers. And we saw that with what the Dolphins defense was able to do. You're going to be a little pissed off because it's sloppy. And you know, the first thing the media says, coach didn't have him ready to play. Aaron Glenn, it's the same old in New York. So he comes in early on and the media go, oh my God, Aaron Glenn's just going off on him. He's screaming. We can hear him. He's screaming. He can't get any louder than that. I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, you surprised? I mean, if there's a time that the team's going to get ripped as a group, it'd be after, not after a bad practice, it'd be after a bad game. Sometimes you're thinking, well, you know, practice, and you have bad practices, and coaches know what nights guys might go out, and so they expect you to be, you know, not that they're happy, but they get after you a little bit. But, hey, part of the deal, it's just about how you're going to play on Sunday. There is a time to rip a team, man. Aaron Glenn probably had one of those games. You know, I'm guessing Carolina, after what happened to them last week, and New England looked like they were going to the playoffs the way they beat them up. I'm guessing if there was a time to let a team have it, that something's not acceptable, it might be that. Whatever your tone of voice happens to be in your style of coaching, that you might want to let your team know this can't happen. So, but it was amazing. It was like, what do you see? I see it. It's like the third or fourth story, and I'm like, with everything going on, baseball playoffs, Yankees, Red Sox, by the way, give me that. Yankees, Red Sox playoffs is different level. I couldn't turn it off last night. Just incredible. It was Wasn't it good?
And you only had to stay up a couple minutes to see Ohtani hit one out.
Yeah, by the way, right off the bat.
Yeah, he had two. That play at the, maybe it was the eighth inning of that game where the Red Sox, they had that play in center field. And the guy comes over from right and cuts right in front. Right. And they almost crashed into each other in center field.
Then they had the argument of who's supposed to, who should get that. And
those games are awesome, though, man. There's great energy at those stadiums. And those teams don't like each other.
You're exactly right. Yeah, the whole thing, the history.
The baseball playoffs in general are pretty good. You got the Cubs playing, which is always fun, right? Get playoff games.
Oh, the Cubs back is good.
Good for business, as they would say, right?
But I got to tell you, the whole Red Sox and Yankees thing is just different, different level. And that you could feel the energy.
Yankees got to get them bats going, huh?
Well, listen, there's a guy that's been accused of shrinking in the playoffs, and his name is Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
They threw up his numbers in the playoffs, and they haven't exactly been.
They were so bad last year. Yeah. So
he couldn't catch a fly ball.
Stanton carried him last year, remember?
He did.
Stanton was great.
But nice little comeback for the Red Sox, and of course, you know, everything. By the way, you want to talk about being under a microscope in sports, be the Yankees manager. Aaron Boone pulls out Max Fried, who's just pitching his ass off, got a 1-0 lead. He gets a first out in the seventh inning, and he pulls him. So now Luke Weaver comes in and gives up a walk, double, and a single. And just like that, after all that great pitching, you're down 2-1. They end up losing 3-1 last night, and Aaron Boone is getting – you want to know the top story – Aaron Boone getting second guessed on everything. He goes, well, he was at 102 pitches, and I just knew. And matter of fact, I wasn't even going to let him go out for the seventh inning, but I let him get the first out.
Yeah, I wonder what it'd be like to work in a market where they do that, where they just come in the morning, and it's like
everything.
You break down a baseball game. I don't – like, we can't do that here, obviously.
So and so the crazy part and the difference in the markets, by the way, because we really are soft. We are soft tissue.
Soft is a strong word, but
well, I mean, compared to,
well, it's just not a baseball town. So people just don't care.
No, in general, but in general, like those markets, they don't give, whether it's the Giants playing or the Jets or the Yankees, they don't give any of their teams like the, we're going to rebuild it. And they're going, no, you're not. You're not going to rebuild without being on the back page or the front page. And we're going to get after you. But I was just I just thought that was amazing that, getting back to the original, Aaron Glenn went off on his team.
I don't know why that's such a big deal. I mean, that was probably like going into that game, they were probably saying the same thing we were. Boy, this is our chance to get a win.
They march down the field and don't score.
Yeah.
Maybe the biggest play of the whole game.
Yeah.
They march down the field. And by the way, he's going in. He's going into the end zone on that play. And it pops out because of a nice defensive play made by your secondary, and pops out. They get the ball. And then what you do after you get a takeaway, it's really important that you make somebody pay. And Tua took the team down the field. They scored, and all of a sudden it's 10-0 game.
Is it just me or a guy coughing the ball up a lot these days? I don't know. Maybe I just have Derrick Henry on my mind.
No, it's not just him. Fumbles. Stevenson's another guy with us. Stevenson's got the little, you know.
But are a lot of guys coughing the ball up here? I mean, I know the other guy, the guy in Indy, just dropped it. But I know they're teaching that whole punch the ball out thing more. That's obviously
I think they are doing. I think why is it nobody wants to give the defense credit?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do when a guy punches the ball out. You want to blame the guy carrying the ball.
If you make a strong hit on the football, and by the way, you see a lot of guys, sometimes people, well, the tackling's not as good, after the first hit. Then you go back and look at it, and those guys are trying to rip the ball out.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys are strong dudes. They all lift weights. And if they see you got one arm on it, they're going, oh, I'm going to rip this thing out with my two hands and let somebody else tackle him, even if he gets another 3 or 4 yards, because you're trying to get the big takeaway. And
Justin Fields coughed one up when he was just trying to get out of the pocket, and he coughed the ball up.
Yeah, he was.
He's holding it out there, right?
Back there. Yeah. I don't know what he thought. I mean, a guy that's chasing him is a lot bigger and stronger and the whole thing. By the way, the other thing, Vic Fangio came out. Woody, I was thinking of you. I don't know if you saw Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator now for the Eagles, came out and finally, on behalf of defensive coordinators, talking about how much he dislikes the new kickoff return. And he said the combination of kickoff returns, but it wasn't that he was upset about. He says he just watched the Tampa Bay field goal kicker go 65 and 58 like their extra points. And he said, and the guy in Dallas, he's going to start kicking him from 70. Which we've talked about. He said, what are we doing?
Midfield is field goal range now for some of these kickers.
I did not know about the footballs, and he did a whole breakdown of the whole footballs. They get these footballs.
Yeah, it's like their own balls their own now football. That they can use. Yeah, that's
get them
that's
all juiced up and ready to go. Yeah,
I thought it was steroids in the leg, but no, it's they're using their own footballs. I did too.
It's so funny, and I'll be honest, I did not know that these kickers get all these balls all lathered up and ready.
In the rules meeting again?
No, that one has never just been talked about. Like, I just thought.
Yeah, I think that's a new thing this year, right?
I don't know, but the league can't have. So now it's to the point with these kickers, to his point, you get one first down, you're at the 50, you kick a field goal, and there's a whole bunch of guys that can make the 67 or 68-yard field goal. It's coming. It's coming to you, and listen, it is kind of an exciting thing to watch a guy rip one in areas we've never seen before. But I watch our guys warm up, the two kickers we have, and they usually stop it in the mid-50s in warm-ups. And Woody, I go, I tell Jimmy, I said, Jimmy, if we need to go early 60, 62, 63, 64, we got two kickers that can do it. Jason Sanders still out.
So I've been on this for years. I don't know what you think.
I think
there's way too much gimmicky stuff happening in the game, man. Like with this, the kickoff is just so ugly, right? And you got to decide, do you want the guy to return it? Do you want him to, just kick it out the back, start at the 35? Or if, God forbid, you miss the kick, what is that, out at the 40?
Well,
if you miss the landing zone.
I understand what they're trying to do. Nobody wants to see. What do you got to get this through your brain.
Nobody wants the NFL. They don't want to see. And they want to see guys crash into each other and knock the crap out of each other.
We had a Super Bowl. Not one was returned.
I get it. They want to see those big collisions.
After the touchdown, they go, where are you going? The kickoff. You go, well, you know what's going to happen. The kickoff. I'm going to go.
What happened to player safety, Joe? I thought we were trying to keep the guys safe. They're still getting the crap knocked out of each other on those plays, right?
They are still getting the crap knocked out of them. Some of the hits are still.
Those are the worst hits in the game.
The league's a little fraudulent on that topic. Yes, it is.
I just don't. I there's not a lot of skill involved in going 15 yards and being able to score.
So that's
that doesn't do anything for me.
That's the problem right now. That's got everybody fired up. Is we're getting to a point if you got a good return team and you're able to get it back between the 40 and the 50.
The Chiefs got the ball out to midfield, Joe, on a kick return. They were in field goal range.
Yeah.
They could have taken a knee on the ball three times and kicked.
I do like that the returns, and now we're going to be talking about coverage, guys, more than ever, and how important, I say this, the four or five guys, its number one job is to go down and make tackles, because we're returning at an 80-something percent rate right now. It's pretty amazing. And I get it, man. If I was a defensive coordinator, you go, this sucks, by the way. Look at this, man. we give up 12 yards and they just kick 3 points against us. It's
tough. That's the other stupid part of it too, is like, what are you going to do? Are you going to use your best players, your best defensive players? You send them down there as gunners, like to try to get these guys,
you don't,
or
Woody,
like, what are you going
to
do?
You got 4 or 5 guys. Its job is secondary job is to help out on the defense. Their number one job is to be, we've got one of them on our team. We've got one guy. We actually have a couple linebackers that their number one job, they know every week, is to run down Cameron Good's number one job.
Yeah, but he's not your best player at it, is he? I mean,
yeah, he's good. He's the best player. Wow. I'm just telling you tackles why. Not that you asked me.
No, I know. But wouldn't your first string guys, like if you were really going to make this into a big deal?
No, I don't want my.
Put your first string
guys. No, I'm not putting Jalen Phillips.
Well, yeah, because you don't want him to get hurt.
Right. So
you also don't want the other team starting in midfield.
Anyway,
hey, this whole thing's a mess.
No, it's not a mess. You're not listening. You got this thing. They're not gonna put starters on a frigging kickoff team to run down and make tackles. The backup guys, although we got some veterans running down that probably weren't overly excited about being on it. Hey, right now I want to talk to you about what's going on at your South Florida Chevy dealers. I want to let you know, man, we got a great team right now of great looking trucks for you no matter what. The durable Colorado with the standard Turbo Max engine and impressive torque. Not only that, the Silverado 1500, always ready, steady, and strong, delivering all the horsepower you could ever want. Whether it's a workday workhorse or a weekend warrior for hard lifting during the week while you make a living or just getting around all the toys on the weekend, we got trucks that you will absolutely love. Big enough for you and your whole family. The Silverado HD, boy, I'll tell you what, again, legendary horsepower. One of the hardest working beds in the business. So, hey, whether it's a midsize, full-size, or heavy-duty truck that you need, stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. We've got 14 dealerships throughout South Florida. We got some great deals going on right now. So take advantage of it. Take a test drive. Fall in love today at your South Florida Chevy dealer.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, before we get back to it here, let's let people know we do have our contest still going here. Our sister station, Kiss Country, is bringing back Stars and Strings featuring Hardy, Dierks Bentley, Dasha, Nate Smith, Zach Top, Hudson Westbrook, and more at the Hard Rock Live at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood on November 6th. For your chance to win tickets, text the word Hardy, that is spelled H-A-R-D-Y, to 20357. That is Hardy to 20357. If you want to buy tickets, you can go to starsandstrings.com. Stars and Strings supports Folds of Honor. For more information, go to WQAM.com. This is a text contest. Message and data rates do apply, Joe. And as always, you want to finish it for me?
No, go ahead.
Don't text and drive. we're out here for the people.
Don't drink and drive, number one, and don't text and drive. That text and drive is damn near as bad as that.
Well, they got that big sign, drive sober or get pulled over. They got
They got some creative ones.
That's like something they rhyme up sometimes.
Yeah. I see that somewhere. It's like they'll put a new one up. I'm going, oh, all right, Highway Patrol. Nice. Something kind of creative there.
There's another one where it's something to drive something and arrive alive.
Yeah, that's
what
right.
What is that one? I don't know what that one is.
But they do rhyme up. Yeah, and I see them,
very
I go,
creative.
That's pretty good. I like that.
And sadly, most people disregard a lot of those things.
Yeah,
it seems like on our local highways.
Can you do me a favor though out there for all of us? In don't get in the fast lane and text and like swerve and go 60 miles an hour. Don't. I mean, if you want to just get over in the slower lane and then you can text your ass off if you want, just go and you can swerve and go, oh, they're texting and driving slow, but you can't get on the turnpike. I hit the turnpike on my way home and get over the left and somebody's always driving.
Yeah.
55 or 60. And sometimes it's a business. It's a company. Actually, they even put a number. If you have a complaint, I would never do that for ratting some guy out for on a way to a job that's sitting there texting and swerving all over in the fast lane mm-hmm. with,
What is it? It's like something FHP, right? To get the highway patrol.
Yeah, like I don't know. I'm not.
You're not a rat out there, huh?
I'm not a text rat, no. Mm-hmm. I don't know about it. My sister just recently told me she's in the Bay Area. She made a call, the highway patrol. The guy was clearly, she said she got up close. She could see he was hammered.
Yeah.
And it was all over the place and cars were like spreading out away from him. And she said she made a call. And they
how'd
all,
it go?
I don't they have help? Any idea. I'm not, you know. Oh, I don't know about that situation. That's a bad one.
I'm always fascinated when we go on these highways, the difference in, like, you have one guy driving a buck 20, then there's another guy driving 40.
And you're
everyone's
right,
everyone's just in their own world.
Wood, we got our own deal, too. You can, I see it, and you see it in the 4 o'clock hour or early five going to work.
Oh, man.
And you see a little bit of you see 100 mile an hour.
That's what I don't get is, like, who at 5 a.m. is that, like, jacked up that they got to drive that way?
But then you'll see somebody that's going, I got to get caught up on the news and see what happened on TikTok last night.
Yeah.
And they get over and they just want to drive. Man. Yeah. TikToking.
Yeah.
Not that I haven't.
Do you know what the speed limit is? Just out of curiosity, you know what the speed limit is on 95 right here? This is the death way, right? Like where from Golden Glades into Miami. I think that's like the deadliest stretch of highway on earth.
I don't know. Don't they give the slowest speed and fastest speed?
They do. They have a minimum speed. Yeah. I think it's 45 and 65.
So you can go 45 on 95.
I think that's the minimum.
Because there are people going 45 in the morning.
Oh, yes, there are.
They drive real slow. They're real careful.
Don't you always envy those people, though, to an extent that, like, they can drive so leisurely, like they just have nowhere to be?
That's early in the morning.
I love that, though, man. Like, you're driving 45 on 95. You just don't have anything going on.
And then you'll have somebody to your left flying by you, hitting numbers, like we said, close to 100.
Well, I think the turnpike is riskier, right, as far as getting pulled over. Now, this stretch of 95 is just that might as well be the Autobahn, but, like, isn't the turnpike has, like, more?
I got to tell you, the worst is right out here in front. These guys, these three or four guys, and there's three or four of them in this small little area.
Oh, this road right here.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah. Right by Miami Shore.
What is this? Second Street?
Is it Second Avenue, I think?
Second Avenue. Watch out, man.
Yeah, it's 30. That's a 30 street.
What the hell? They come up
nobody
with 30
goes 30
in the morning.
Yeah, 30
yeah
slow.
You do.
Well, yeah. You set the, you
man,
let us
and,
know about
and
that
they're
one.
Pulling on. They are writing, the Miami Shores police on there, they're writing a record amount of tickets because on my way out of here, they got them pulled over two at a time, man.
Well, if you come from the south, I used to come from the south, right? You can go with whatever speed you want coming in. But if you're coming from the north because you're crossing through Miami Shores, you got to be careful.
Yeah, Miami Shores doesn't mess around.
Nope.
They got one mission to get you on a ticket. All right. Hey, listen, we've got a lot of stuff, Woody, a lot of stuff to get to, a lot of Dolphin stuff. And I must have got 6 or 7 texts. What is it going to look like with, and some of them weren't even here. This is some with family. What's it going to look like without Tyreek? I said, man, he's going to be missed, obviously. And but like Mike said, man, life goes on. You know, there are 4 or 5 other teams that lost key guys here in recent days. And like I said, man, you hate to see anybody get injured, but when you do as a fan, you just, you know, you wish you could pick them on who's going to get injured. And Tyreek's a big, big loss. But, hey, Mike put in a great game plan with Tyreek and without Tyreek to finish off that game. And I thought that was some of his best work, by the way. I thought Mike was that good on and listen, the Darren Waller story, which he gets credit for that one, too, getting him in and using him the right way without overusing him. But he got everybody involved. He stuck with the running game. It was just it was like, Mike, man, you're never going to be perfect, right? You can always – there's always going to be a call you second guess, like, why did he run that? But Mike was on his game, man. Mike was on his – he was dialing up winners. And it was great for Tua. It was great for the offensive line. And when you see all these people start to play well – and you're going, wow, what was different besides you're playing the Jets? And a lot of it had to do with Mike came up with some things that we haven't seen yet this year that he saw. And it started, by the way, with us not deferring the ball to the second half. you know, put the defense out there. Now, listen, he knows the defense having their own problems. Probably had a pretty good idea what the Jets were going to do because it was the same game plan as everybody else, and that's run between the tackles at the Miami Dolphins defense. But I like the fact he said, hey, man, let's get off to a good start. It starts with us. It went down, kick three, then get the takeaway, go right down and get seven more. And it was just it was the use of everybody. You know, it kind of funny. Nobody talking about the offensive line, right? Offensive line was – they were fine in the last game.
They were. I just out of curiosity, because this is going to come up here, that the Mike's hot seat, right? Is it still hot, or are we going to give a pass because of the situation? Like, where do we stand on all that, right? Because this was – there were a lot of people talking about this guy might not make it past the first month of the season.
So if they would have lost that game
think if they would have lost that game, that would have been it?
No, I don't think it would have been it. Cause no, I think the owner's a very patient man to start with.
Yeah.
And I think the owner really likes, part of it is if you like a guy and you see it, and the owner's on top mm-hmm. of everything. He's around here. He lives in Palm Beach now. He's not up in New York. And I think he's down here a lot more and he's around the team. But I didn't think that. Just to get to your point, that
wasn't. Well, I guess my bigger question is,
they weren't going to fire anybody unless they lost by three touchdowns and it looked like nobody cared.
Can they spin this to Mr. Ross in a way that it, like, hey, you know, this season was a mess. We need another shot at this thing. Can they spin it in that way, where,
no,
you kind of start blaming injuries or anything like that?
I think right now the only thing is, you guys all keep going ahead on me. They're going to be 2-3 here. Then what okay. do you think?
I think they have a good chance to win that game.
That's all. That's
you know
all
what
I'm
the
saying.
Line is, right?
No.
It's a pick'em game.
Okay. But you saw, well, Carolina had a good game against Atlanta, but you saw what they did last weekend.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing, and you're doing this, and it's not, you're doing the Dolphins a disservice by essentially counting this as a win
this
before
is
they
a game,
play the
this
game.
This is a game. If you're the Miami Dolphins, you should win, yes.
I'm with you, bro. I'm with you.
Don't bro me. But I'm just telling
you. I got
to
bro you because you're giving them a win before they even play the game.
Well, I'm just telling you. And you're kind of irresponsible. But you're sitting here telling me they're going to lose, basically.
No.
Every angle is yours is they're going
to
lose this game.
I am going to bet that game, and I'm going to take the Dolphins to win. But if we come in on Monday and they played a poor game and they tripped up, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, I can't. It's the upset of the century.
No. They put themselves in a situation where these games are – You
I think you're doing
games.
Them a little bit of a disservice by like just saying they are 2-3.
Well, I'm not going to come in here and give you a countdown on when those guys are going to get fired because I don't know, number one. And
well, more of a big picture is like, can they sell Stephen Ross on like this season has gone off the rails? It's not our fault.
No, that's not doable.
Okay. Because I believe that that's kind of what they've been able
to
hang
Mike,
their hats on.
Mike
right?
just like, came out. Mike said it.
Mike takes all the bullets.
Mike just said, hey, man, nobody wants to hear about one of my best players going down.
No, Mike takes all the bullets. There's no question.
So,
but again, I don't know what they've been able to sell the owner on in the past is kind of what I'm getting at here. Like, what did they sell Stephen Ross on towards the end of last season that he was like, all right, I'm going to type this thing out. It'll be ready to go as soon as we blow the last game.
I don't know.
Win or lose, we're going to send this thing out. You guys are coming back. Like,
I don't know. I can't answer that because nobody had an answer that I know.
Like, except, do they go in there and say, hey, listen, you know, Tyreek's going to be back for the start of next season. We're going to be good again.
Like, I think Mr. Ross had all the information because the decision was made before the Jets game, the final game. They had that thing all written up and it was out right after the game.
I was ready to roll, yep.
It wasn't. They made a decision before the start of the last Aaron Rodgers game in New York. And I just think he said, whatever, talking to everybody, hey, I'm going to do it again with these guys. I'm going to give them another shot. And that's kind of where they are. And it's not going to end after, you know, again, unless it go back, we have another game like the Colts, which was just, you know, was really
the
bad.
The Colts actually ended up being good at least. So,
yeah.
Colts. That's refreshing, right? I mean,
I don't know if it's refreshing.
Well, if the Colts were 1-3.
Culture.
You'd be not feeling great this
morning. Pretty damn good. We got to go to break, man. We are super late. We got a little fired up on that new kickoff return. And now, guys, are all kicking it. We're finding out. And if you don't believe it, go watch your favorite kicker in any NFL city. And the last kick is usually somewhere in the mid 50s, and watch by how much they make it by and realize, holy crap, we also have a kicker that can make it from 60 something yards. And it had Vic Fangio pretty fired up. It is pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Trying to get more scoring in the NFL, man. Let's be honest. Sorry, defense. We need more scoring. Baptist Health South Florida. Love talking about them. Love the work they're doing, because I've had to use them more than once. And you probably will be injured at some point. And then people ask me, hey, where do the pros go when they get injured? I go, well, enter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Miami Dolphins. All trust that great sports medicine program the Baptist Health South Florida has put together, set by some of the best doctors in the business. And I'm not just talking about team doctors. I call them everyday doctors, but the specialists they have as well, the knee, anything to do with the knee, the shoulder, the foot and ankle, the hand, back, hip and knee replacement, Achilles. They've seen it all. They covered it all. You've seen some of the games when people get injured in this town. And a lot of our athletes are going to the specialists that they have at Baptist Health South Florida, man. They are first class. They got three great facilities, a doctor's hospital in Coral Gables, right next to Hard Rock Stadium now. It's really been nice, great facility over there. You can use that right next to the training facility. And 595 in Pine Island in Plantation. All you have to do, whether you play team sports or individual sports and you're competitive, you know how this thing works. Sooner or later, we all get injured. Just visit baptisthealth.net/ortho today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, and a good morning to everybody. We're going to have Kyle Crabbs and Brian Baldinger on a little bit later on, go around the NFL, trying to figure everything out. Well, I'll tell you what, of everything took place besides that Yankees-Red Sox game, it was just so fun, and I have the afternoon off, and I made sure my ass was home yesterday so I could watch some of those games. Scoble, by the way. Scoble. That guy is ridiculous for the Tigers, going 101 miles an hour late in the game. 14 strikeouts, but nothing like Yankees and Red Sox. No, seriously, I was thinking about all the different sports where, especially for the playoffs, and I know you're going to say Buffalo and Kansas City, but I'm talking about something that's been around for a long, long time. Like this rivalry. Hell, we've had great players play for both teams. It's just so much fun. Even though it was a 3-1 game, and you just know the game's under a microscope. Every pitch, every at-bat, it's just – it's good. You know what else kind of like that, Woody? For me, Michigan-Ohio State football. Like, I like Michigan-Ohio State when they play. Somehow, no matter what Michigan looks like, they play Ohio State really well now. And then years ago, they couldn't beat them. So it's just a couple of really good, and I know there's other ones. I get it. There's other ones, and you know, wherever you live, you know, Auburn, Alabama people, and even out in the Bay Area would tell you Stanford and Cal and, you know, and some of that, but man, that's that one last night, especially the energy of the playoffs. It's only a 3-game series, right? So now the Red Sox going, well, we got one. We can somehow get another one. And then how do you stars play when the lights are on? Right? Nobody's going to be talking about the bottom part of the Yankees lineup. Everybody's going to go Judge as they're screaming MVP, MVP, MVP. How do you play in the playoffs? Right? Great season. Don't take away. You don't take away from that. Puts up monster numbers. But how do you play in the playoffs? How do you play when you got a runner on, a couple runners on, late in the game, you come up with the big hit, or in his case, big home run with the power he has, and another good season for him. But yeah, those are great games, no question. Hey, we had a whole bunch of Dolphins stuff, and I was holding off if you're wondering why we're not getting into a lot of Dolphin stuff here, and we are going to get into it. The good, a lot of good stuff going on in the last game, and we'll talk to Kyle Krabs coming up at 8 o'clock, a little more than an hour from now. We'll talk to him about it. But something else quietly happened yesterday. Cam Smith was waived by the Miami Dolphins. A non-football illness list release. I hope he's okay. When I hear that, I'm not sitting here. I know, you know, I just hope the guy's okay mentally, emotionally, all that. So I don't, you know, it didn't work. And you know how bad it is for this team to give up on Cam Smith and whatever happened. You know, the crazy part is he's going to be on the 53-man roster. And I don't want to know what happened. I really don't. I just hope he's okay. I hope this doesn't have a real, real bad ending to it. And that somewhere along the line, because he's got talent, he does have some talent. And there's a lot of guys that you watch come in and out of their break and run, and you see their numbers from college, and you go, oh, my God. Even though, you know, he's got a few issues away from the game, it's like the potential's there if he can just all, you know, you hope he takes that next step and you get the elevator going back to the top floor. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. And he's been one of those guys, and just hope he's okay. It didn't work as our top pick out of South Carolina a few years ago, but I, again, firsthand, hope he's okay. All right, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. We come back, we'll get into some more Miami Dolphins stuff. And, of course, right now with this new kickoff and kickoff return, and now the field goal kickers kicking them from 50 yards like they're extra points, we have finally had a coach come out. He's not happy about all this that's going on. Obviously, it's about an exciting play, and it's also about scoring more points. We'll talk more about that coming up. But first, I want to talk to you about Gary and Harvey. I got to stop doing that. I know they're my friends, but Harvey Cohn and Gary Judah. Yeah, the partners of Cohn and Judah Injury Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys in Plantation covering all of South Florida for you. Hey, I always tell you this. The same partners who handle your case from start to finish. Not just when you hear their ads or you see their ads. And you don't go, because you're so used to now when you see these ads for law firms. And now everybody's starting to figure out that the names usually, not always, but a lot of the time, don't handle cases when they come in. They got their name on it. They do the upfront work, but they're not doing the day-to-day grind. They've got lawyers, other lawyers that do that stuff. You're not going to get a handoff here. We don't do lawyer handoffs. Those are for football games. We're talking about the same partners who handle your case from start to finish. More than 30 years of experience each, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million-dollar results, and small enough just to call you back. Go to ConanJudah.com and read the reviews. That's the best way to go, saying a lot of great things. Made us feel like we were their only client.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.